reserves down, and they thought that they would come back because we'd fill up. Well, we never did. And the power sales agreement says that we will have our power needs provided from Taiyi first. That we get first dibs on all the water in Taiyi. And Ketchikan gets all the dibs on all the water in Swan. We help each other back and forth, and we do sales back and forth. But one estimate I heard was almost $7 million in sales south. And I want to really clearly say, this is not Ketchikan's fault. As a matter of fact, when we spoke to Ketchikan, they were very clear to tell us that in the summer, they actually said, we don't want to buy power. We would rather run our diesels in the summer when we don't have to run at capacity because we don't have everybody running heat. We'd rather run in the summer and save that hydro for in the winter when we are bumping up on our capacity and a generator failure would be catastrophic. And they were told, you have to buy the power that we want to sell you. And don't worry, we'll have more water. You know, that was the call. So Ketchikan, we have to buy our power first and foremost from SEPA. So Ketchikan went ahead and did it. We ran low on water at Swan. We ran low on water at Taiyi. And now they're having a heck of a time keeping the lights on in Ketchikan. They brought in two cat in the boxes, which these are very expensive, $20,000 a month just to sit at your place. And then when you run it, it goes up. And they've got another two
bringing two more in.
So this has had a huge dramatic effect on Ketchikan. It's obviously had a big dramatic effect on us because we're running generators. That costs our ratepayers money. You know, if we charge back, it's going to cost us money. There's all kinds of implications on that. But at the end of the day, moving forward, we are going to ask SEPA to true up the north end, both Petersburg and Wrangell, for the diesel that was displaced. And then we're having a discussion about what's the cutoff for sales to the south. The power sales agreement says our firm power requirements will be met first in Taiyi. Anything left can be sold, but our firm power requirements. So we need to have a talk about what do we need as the buffer, because we played chicken and we lost. No water came, and it doesn't look like there's any water coming for a while. And when do we feel like there's a reset button on this? When do we say we filled up enough, we can start selling again to the south? Well, we've got to talk about those things. I will say Ketchikan's been nothing but supportive. I felt they recently did a very nice thing for us with their reservoir where they had four extra feet of water in their reservoir. They took half, they gave half to the north. And that, you know, they didn't have to do that, but that helped us out on the end to slow our draft. And we haven't been shipping any power south now for months because we've been so worried about being able to get through the winter. So right now, I would say that Rod and his crew have done a fantastic job keeping the lights on down there, and our generators are in good shape, and we've done a lot of work to them, and we've got other work planned, but we have to prevent this from becoming a thing where we sell the hydro off and say, it's okay, you can run diesels. It's not okay. We put wear and tear on our diesels. They have a life. We have to replace them. What's one diesel cost?
New would be about $3
million. $3 million a unit. So we have some options that the crews come up with here for us to look at later on. But so that will be what we're going in with for SEPA. Any questions on that?
Well, you're working on new policies then?
We are. We're going to have our first work session. One of the things that happened is that we couldn't get them to say, turn on the diesels. And they would say, we think it'd be a good idea, but because it's two communities and we're both drawing water from the same project, if we said, well, we think it's a good idea, we turn on our diesel, and Petersburg says, we think it's a dumb idea, we're going to keep running on hydro, we're supplementing, our ratepayers are paying to supplement the other community. So we need some leadership there. And they did finally come and say, a week and a half ago, they finally came and said, we need you guys to turn on your deals. We need to do this run. And we did. We were up. I think Rod had him up and running within hours of that request.
So, and Petersburg at the same time?
Absolutely. They were 100% on board. But we need to be told. The other thing is if you say, well, you guys could start them up. And then we come and say, hey, we'd like some money for our diesel. It wasn't our decision to start your generators. You guys decided to do it. So, I mean, there's little games that don't need to be played. So we're going to go into this meeting and represent we don't believe our ratepayers should be paying for a run that was caused from oversale. We oversold our water. Never in the history of the Tahi Project did we run out of water prior to the intertie going in. Never. Never happened. Droughts, never happened. And this is the first time that we've had to say the lake levels are so low, you know, that we're increasing the turbidity due to the flooding out of the top end with the estuary. So we're moving forward. I think we have a good consensus from the board to do this face-to-face, and Lisa and I will go down and do our best.
How many hours have we been on diesel?
What are we at right now?
I can't say for when, on the 16th, we ran for 3 hours, and then on the 17th, 18th, and 19th, we ran about 16 to 18 hours each day. After the 20th, we've been at 24 hours a day since the 20th.
Okay, so it's no longer intermittent.
No,
it's but it's only two units.
Yeah, what we ran, we in the high peak air today, we run two units, which gives us 4 megawatts of power. And at night, we run one unit, which gives us 2 megawatts of power. And this is in conjunction with what we get from Tahi. And it we play a game between us. No, it's not a game, but we play this very... finessing of power distribution across the grid with Petersburg and Tahi, and we're all playing very well together right now. Very well.
So you're synchronized with Petersburg.
Yes.
Okay.
When they're producing a lot of power, we're not producing as much, and we kind of cycle back and forth between the two communities.
So we're sharing the burden.
We are sharing the burden.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, there's no issues with playing nicely together. Everybody's doing a great job, I think. But, again, we need to change how this is structured, and we need policy that says this is how it's going to work moving forward. And I am going to be pushing not to make it easy to oversell our resource. That is dedicated to the North End. And I'll say this, Ketchikan has been dictating for years how that reservoir is, Swan Lake Reservoir, is managed. They've been doing it. We just haven't been doing it. We've sat back and it's sort of been done for us. The last thing I'll say is SEPA is not a standalone organization. Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was talking and I couldn't have been.
The last thing I'll say is that SEPA, okay, SEPA is, it is not a standalone organization. It is made up of the three communities. We are the owners of SEPA. We decide who the CEO is. I mean, that's a decision that we make as three communities. The power structure fluctuates between Ketchikan and the North End. Every second year, North End holds the deciding vote. Ketchikan happens to hold them this year. But... we literally pay our 6.2 cents a kilowatt hour wholesale rate for not only the production of that power, but the management of the system. And we need SEPA to play well with the communities. We started having discussions in October about our concerns of the reservoir levels. And at that time, the offer was made, should we be looking at doing a diesel run? And that's when we ran into squishy language, like, well, if you want to, go ahead. Well, no, we don't want to, but we want you to direct us. So that's where we're at. We'll report back. Julie?
Well, a couple of things for the community members. The power was stopped being shipped south in September.
September.
Is when everybody that lives in Southeast Alaska would expect you know, the lakes to fill back up because fall's very rainy, right? I don't want to belabor this really long, but I do want to get out a couple points. I think if you guys can figure out automatic triggers that result in true ups to the north when power has been oversold, so to speak, to the south, we can remain whole and we maximize the system, and it's not necessarily problematic. But we're in a situation because we don't have those policies and triggers, and that it's unclear, it's difficult to work through. So I appreciate you guys working with the communities to get to a solution. The other thing that came to mind when you were talking about the lowering the level, the draft level, and of course folks want to have some sort of reserve for an emergency. I don't know if it's possible when you're talking about policies to outline what those emergencies might be. Is it blackouts? I mean, like Ketchikan's, you know, been talking they might have to have rolling blackouts. I mean, I don't know if that qualifies. I don't know if there's something a higher bar, but if you're talking about policies, that might be one to try to struggle with. Anyway, but from my perspective, for ratepayers in Wrangell, I would expect to remain whole and that we would get trued up. And hopefully you all can work that out. And we'll support you if you need support in that effort.
I think that probably the larger issue is going to be who's going to pay for the trip. Should Ketchikan pay for the trip? And, you know, I can see it both ways. But to be honest with you, Ketchikan didn't ask for that power. They were forced to take it. So it's kind of tough to say, oh, now you've got to pay additional money on diesel, on the true up. So, but we'll cross that bridge, and I'll report back, and I'm going to keep the community informed as we go along, too.
Just one point on that. Both Ketchikan and SEPA benefited from selling that power because SEPA made more revenues and Ketchikan had more hydro. So maybe there's a situation where both.
Yeah. It's true, but what they want it to do, so what your risky time is your winter time, you're at your capacity and everybody needs power. Summertime's the time where you have the least demand, and so if you have an incident, you have backup generators on the generators because you're not running, you know, for us, if we had to run everything at our peaks, we'd be running all four of our generators. We lose one of our generators running all four, well, you've got to have rolling blackouts in order to make up the difference. They want it to conserve the hydro and keep a good buffer of hydro. And then in the winter, and run their diesels in the summer, when they're only running two, and they have six more, so if two fall off, it's no big deal, you got six more. So they were trying to sort of work it that way. But bottom line is, we're going to work very hard. And I know Petersburg is not interested in paying for all the diesel through their ratepayers either. And we've had good support from Ketchikan, fellows, to Don, could I ask that you not do that, please? Thank you. That we have good support from the Ketchikan board members towards our true up. Okay. Anything else on SEPA? A couple comments from the mayor's conference. It was pretty depressing up in Juneau. We are looking at heavy, heavy cuts, and we're not looking as badly as some communities are, but it's looking tough. I don't believe the budget as proposed is going to be the budget we have, but I think we have to be smart about it and go in with some plans and get the community, and bring the community along so that folks understand where we're at. I think that Wrangell's pretty resilient. We've weathered some pretty tough fiscal storms before, and we'll be able to come up with plans and weather this as well. But I encourage everybody to come to the meeting, and we'll share some more of the specifics that we learned there. But the entire mayor's conference was dominated by the impact. You know, you've got communities like Valdez that stand to lose $36 million. North Slope, 320 million.
Dutch Harbor, 9 so, million.
What's that?
Dutch Harbor.
Yeah, Dutch Harbor.
Fish tax.
Take a huge hit. So my biggest fear is we can manage the cost. We will know, we'll get a number, and we have a number. Whatever that number is, we can manage that. But if the ferry goes down as well, we have 18 full-time jobs in our community that provide for families. If those 18 jobs go away, that then, and those, let's say, folks move away, they stop spending, that impacts the overall city budget. Now we're looking at a new number. And if we start laying off our own staff, or the school is forced to do layoffs, then that impacts us. So preservation of our staff and the ferry personnel and every other job that's associated with it is crucial, because the trickle-down effect into our local coffers eventually impact us and decrease the ability to deliver services. So we're going to have to keep our eye to it. We've got some good numbers coming in, and we'll share those with the community.
Mr. Mayor, could I add to the AML state budget update? So while we were at AML, they were heavy in content in the morning and then had time in the afternoon for appointments. So we took that opportunity to work with our lobbyist, and we had appointments. Assemblymember Morrison and myself and the mayor had appointments with ADOT and ADEC and the court system, and with Stedman's office and Ortiz's office as well. And we got some very good information on the airport generator, which I will get some more detail out to the assembly on that. And we had a good discussion, and we thanked DEC profusely for their work on the Byford Junkyard. And I'll actually be getting a letter to the assembly for approval for the mayor to sign, to go, a thank you letter to go to ADEC. We gave an update to the court system folks on the improvements to the public safety building, to the best of our knowledge, and had a conversation with them about our ongoing relationship with them and their lease moving forward. And then we had a really good meeting with Representative Ortiz, and another good meeting with Randy, Senator Stedman's chief of staff, and they are very much on our issues and dealing with stuff. I've been dealing, I was actually discussing the grant language, the grant amendment that we want for the hospital grant with Randy over the weekend. Actually, he was following up with me. And prior to us going to Juneau, Randy and Stedman's office had requested a significant amount of dam information. So they've got that as well. Senator Stedman's office is also on the DOT generator stuff. So I think we're in good hands. We have a small number of follow-up items we need to do here, but we'll move through those with ease. I tried to get a meeting scheduled with the Deputy Commissioner of Corrections. I got an email 2 weeks ago that they are coming down here to do a jail audit, and would our chief be around? And yes, our chief is gonna be around, and he's ready for the audit, but there was no information on the audit. So we asked to meet with those folks while we were in Juneau, and they happened to be in Petersburg last week doing their audit, so we were unable to do that. And tried to schedule a couple of other meetings with people who were unavailable. So we'll continue to follow up with those people from a distance here in Wrangell, but good meetings nonetheless, actually. And I don't know if Assemblymember Morrison or the mayor want to speak to those additional meetings, but well worth the time.
I thought they were very productive. Obviously, once the budget came out, everybody was sort of in shock, and feelings were running quite high. But what I saw happening is a dissolving of any party lines or any you know, north against south or east against west. It just seems like everybody's trying to coalesce and march to the same drummer. We'll see how long that lasts, but it was interesting.
I was most pleased by the, we seemed to make some inroads on the airport generator.
Mm-hmm.
And that is such a crucial thing. I can't believe we don't have one. So we went and visited with Randy, what's his last name? It's Stedman's office, Senator
Stedman.
Anyways, that it seems like that is being pushed forward and made a priority for us. And I think we're one of the only communities currently that does not have backup generation for our airport if we lose our power. And so we really pushed hard, and Lisa spoke to the DOT folks and sorted out why it hadn't happened. So it's good work.
And on a happier note, I attended the Search Advisory Council meeting. And the report is that the transfer of WMC to Search is occurring very smoothly. And they've put a lot of money into the facility, updating computer programs and such. And the big effort that they're putting forth now is getting their electronic medical records up to standard. So they're going with a new company. So... Good report there.
I noticed their building sprung a leak the other day. I was so glad it's not our building. Okay. Anybody else, mayor or reports? All right. Mayor and assembly appointments, city boards and committee vacancies. We have one opening on planning and zoning. There was no letters. Of interest, so that's the Planning and Zoning Commission until 2021. If anybody be interested in filling in on that, we'd like to hear from you. We'll continue to advertise that, please, Kim. And moving on to public hearings. Proposed ordinance number 952 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the zoning map to effect a change to a portion of the Presbyterian Mission Reserve Block 16 within U.S. 1119 from the open space public to single family residential that is proposed to be added to Lot 1, Block 16, Ogden Rathke re-subdivision as a part of the proposed Presbyterian Reserve replat, creating lots A and B. This is a second reading. So I will declare this public hearing open. Is there any administrative report for the public hearing? None. Is there a list? Anybody wanted to speak specifically to this item 11A?
I don't believe so.
No. Does anybody in the audience wanted to speak to 11A? No, everybody lowered their heads, actually. well, hearing none, I will declare the public hearing closed. And I will now entertain a motion.
Move to approve ordinance number 952.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Discussion. All right. Hearing none, we'll have a poll vote, please.
Assemblymember Stecker?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
And Mayor Pursano?
Yes. Okay. 11B, proposed ordinance number 953 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the zoning map to effect a change to modify the boundaries of the existing multifamily residential and commercial boundaries based on the proposed Curlyville replat. A replat of lots 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 32, 33, 37, 3A, Block 21 and Lot B, Brig replat, zone multifamily and commercial requested by Robert Armstrong for Credit Shelter Trust, specifically proposed new lot 6A will be zoned commercial and the remaining new lots multifamily. This is a public hearing, and I will declare this public hearing open, and I will ask if there's any administrative report. None. And I see that we don't have anybody signed up for 11B, but I'll give anybody in the audience an opportunity to speak on it.
I just want to say one thing about it. I'm on the Planning and Zoning Commission, and that by far was one of the greatest meetings that I've ever attended. There was a lot of history that came down to talk about Curlyville, and it was really quite interesting. And if you missed that meeting, you missed probably one of the best meetings in this city.
Okay. Well, I'm sad now. All right. Anybody else want to speak to that item? All right. Hearing none, I will close the public hearing and I will entertain a motion.
I move to approve ordinance 953.
It's been moved. We have a second.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Julie.
This is sort of a general comment, and I don't know if our manager or clerk might be able to find a solution, but I've always hated the way these titles of these ordinances are.
Please do not get
it's
me started.
Horrible. I can't understand it as an assembly member. I'm sure the public doesn't know what we're talking about. Like, you can't figure out what this is about. It's a paragraph long, and you're like, what?
So try reading it.
You don't know where it is.
So if I may, part of the reason why these two are so complicated is because they're being done concurrently with the replats. So the lots don't, the lots that are being rezoned don't exist yet. So the titles had to state the current lots and the proposed new lots so that that information is clear as mud in the future. Right. So, right. And these documents, the ordinances get recorded to the property so that there's a paper trail in the future of this. So that's why these are so complicated. But I'm working very diligently to reduce titles, because that's something that Carol and Kim especially like to have very long titles to things. And so I'm trying to show.
Okay. So I'm going to move us along on this one, and we can revisit that later on. Is there any discussion on the motion besides Julie's comment? Hearing none. Poll vote, please.
Assembly Member Stecker?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
And Mayor Pasanka?
Yes. Another public hearing. Proposed ordinance number 955. The Assembly of the City Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, repealing Chapter 3.32 of the Wrangell Municipal Code and Medical Center and Long-Term Care Facility.
No, you missed
C. Wait.
11C.
Oh, I passed 11C on. Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize. 11C, proposed ordinance number 954 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending Section 17.72.010A of the Wrangell Municipal Code, impoundment of vehicles and or trailers for violations. I'll declare the public hearing open, and I'll ask if there's any administrative report on that. This is 11C, and we don't have anybody signed up. Jim, do you want to come up forward? Okay.
I think I did sign up for that.
No, it's a public hearing, so you're welcome to come and speak to it, Chair.
11C, I have some questions, if that's all right. First off, I don't believe we have a 17 section in the Wrangell Municipal Code. It should be 11. If I'm reading that correctly, 1172.010 on the impound of vehicles and or trailers.
I'm going to look over this way for an answer to that.
17 is reserved with no borough codes. I believe it's supposed to be
11.
Supposed to be 11.
Sorry.
They're scanning. Stand by.
It
should be
11.
Should be 11.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, we can make an amendment within once we're moving forward. Yep.
Yeah, it should be 11.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Assuming that it is 11.
It is.
Impoundment of vehicles and trailers for violation. The chief of police, and it used to say his, and we're substituting his with a designee. Who is that designee?
I can explain that.
Go ahead, Lisa. Okay.
It is intended to still be the chief of police's designee, but I changed it to A because, as Assemblymember Gilbert aptly pointed out, his only speaks to his rather than his or her. And it becomes very cumbersome if you put his or her throughout. So for efficiencies, I changed it to A designee. It's still intended to be the chief of police's designee.
Okay.
Yes.
And then at the... looked like we should also delete out create an unsafe condition, putting 3, and then the 4 probably should be deleted also. But what exactly is a vehicle creating a visual distraction to drivers on an active roadway? How do we define that, and how would we possibly enforce that?
Well, it should define it. You're correct. For me, what I was hoping for through that is that if you've got a wrecked, rolled over vehicle on the side of the road, mm-hmm. people slow down to look at it. That creates a problem.
But like it's not the classic bright yellow vehicle sitting on the side of the road. Okay.
Not a lime green beetle. That's what I was hoping for out of that.
It just would be hard to get a definition on exactly what a visual distraction is.
Lisa?
If I could, anything that causes someone to look off of the active roadway, off of the side of the road. I mean...
That's pretty broad.
It's very broad, but we all know what that is.
Is it intentionally broad? I mean, so we can have some wiggle
room
there?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes.
Then it goes down to the police, and it used to say may, and I look at the definition of may as it expresses a possibility.
Correct.
Like you may go out and do this.
Correct.
Where you want to put in shall, which is an instruction or a command.
That's correct.
So there is no wiggle room.
That's correct.
Okay. So what's the criteria for impounding these vehicles? If there's any violation... I'm not sure if I'm reading this correctly. So right now, you shall, if you violate city, state, regulation, or law, you shall have your vehicle impounded?
That's correct.
So if there's a vehicle, and I reference 13 AAC 02.365, additional parking regulations, subsection A, except otherwise provided by municipal ordinance, every vehicle stopped or parked upon a roadway must be stopped or park direction of authorized traffic movement with its wheels on the side of the vehicle facing the nearest curb or edge of the roadway within 12 inches of that curb or edge of roadway. So if I'm reading this correctly, when you guys sign this in tonight, if your vehicle is parked more than 12 inches from the curb, you shall have your vehicle impounded.
Lisa?
No.
Is that wrong? Am I reading that?
That is incorrect.
You just said... that it would be if you parked in violation of a municipal ordinance.
It's not
state,
it's not
or regulated. What's that?
That's number 2, A2.
Because there's a few vehicles parked out here that are a little...
That's the section that we... So we did not change that section of the existing code.
But it used to say may, so the officer had a little bit of discretion saying, like, it's 13 inches away from the curb, probably not worthy of an impound. But now it says shall, and you will.
So the point of shall is if it is creating an unsafe condition.
Then you'd have to say.
Then I agree with you. That's correct. The point of shall was if it's creating an unsafe condition.
So shall
or unlawfully. So. Yeah.
Julie?
So I need to revise the language in this.
It needs to be revised?
Because we're going to get a bigger impound.
You're correct. Yeah.
So let me, can I clarify?
Yeah.
So for 1, 2, or 3, those conditions, it would be a may.
No, for 1 or 2.
Threes, the old threes, though.
Let's not go over it tonight. Let me just come back and clarify. Because
okay.
He's absolutely
correct.
Can I
get a motion to postpone this item?
Jim, do you have anything else?
The only other thing I have is on the first reading was not in 2018, it was 19. That was all I had.
Okay.
But that was my concern. I just would hate to park your vehicle like right off the side of the road and then you're impounded. I don't think that was the intent, but that's the way it reads.
You're
correct. No, I appreciate
with
you
no wiggle room.
Forward because... I wind up more than 12 inches routinely, so...
Right, yeah.
Thank you.
Turns a $50 ticket into an impound.
Impound.
Well, people won't do it very much anymore.
I'll be on the curb.
They'll be really careful.
If you want to own that, that would be good. All right, that's
thanks,
all I have.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
So there was no...
Okay, so can we have a motion to adjourn?
No, there was no motion made.
No motion made?
We're in the public hearing part
okay,
of it.
Okay, so we will go finish up with the public hearing and...
Yep. Bring that back later.
Yep. Okay, is there any other comments on 11C from the gallery? We're good? Okay, we're going to move along, and we'll come out of our public hearing, and we are going to just table that.
Yeah, we're going to just move on.
We'll
no
move
table.
On. No table. We will
just move on.
Moving on. I threw it in the pile.
Just
We are going to take a break here in a few minutes. We're on 11D. And then we'll finish 11D, and then we're going to take a bit of a break. Proposed ordinance number 955, the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, repealing Chapter 3.32 of the Wrangell Municipal Code, Medical Center and Long-Term Care Facility Board and Administration. This is a public hearing. I'll declare the public hearing open. And is there any administrative report on the public hearing item? None. And I see that under 11D, we don't have anything on the sheet. Does anybody want to comment on that? Okay. Hearing none, I'll close this public hearing, and I will entertain a motion.
Move to approve ordinance number 955.
It's been moved. Do we have a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. Full vote, please.
Assembly members Decker?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Dober?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
And Mayor Prusanka?
Yes. All right. We're going to take a, Lisa, would 10 minutes be good for you? A 10-minute break, and we will re-adjourn at 8:05. We're continuing on, moving on to 13, new business. Proposed ordinance number 956 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending section 20.52.060 in chapter 20.52 standards of the Wrangell Municipal Code. Recommendation there?
Okay, move to approve first reading of ordinance number 956 and move to a second reading with a public hearing to be held on March 12, 2019.
It's been moved. We have a second.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Discussion. At this point, I would like to go to our sign-up sheet, and
I think they want 13B.
Oh, 13B. Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. It is 13B, not 13A. Okay, so we won't be going to the sign-up sheet. It's been moved and seconded. Discussion.
Mr. Mayor, if I can.
Yes.
There are three related ordinances, 956, 957, and 958. 957 is the one that actually creates the new noise ordinance section in the nuisance code. 956, the one we're on right now, actually references the new noise ordinance code in the zoning section of the code where it has been previously, but of a far smaller section. And so the reason that it is being moved to the nuisance section of the code is that so it is much more easily enforced by the police and through a ticket rather than through the standard zoning code format, which would be sending a letter. Doesn't do very well to address a noise issue. Send a letter.
Right.
So it's not as timely as it is if the police are allowed to enforce it and show up and give a warning or a ticket or what have you. So
there you go.
And then 958 addresses the fine schedule related to the new noise ordinance. So that's how they're all related. But the meat of this is in 957, the next one.
Okay. So we're currently on ordinance number 956. Is there any other comments on that? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Morrison?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
And Mayor?
Yes. Approval of proposed ordinance number 957 of the Assembly of the City of Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, adding a new section 9.08.085, excessive noise prohibited, to chapter 9.08, nuisances, title 9, health and safety of the Wrangell Municipal Code.
Move to approve first reading of ordinance number 957 and move to a second reading with a public hearing to be held on March 12, 2019.
It's been moved. Do we have a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Now, we're on to 13B, the awaited item here. Mr. Demersian, are you still on the phone?
I am.
Okay. Hi, Hank. Would give you a chance to speak to this?
I see. You bet, yeah. Hank Demersian, 577 Evergreen Avenue. Yeah, I'm speaking tonight to show my support for the new noise ordinance proposals laid out in 956, 57, and 58. However, in 957, I have some serious questions as to Exemption 7, power tools, and Exemption 8, vessels. I believe my comments will show that the proposed language is way too subjective and, as a result, an enforcement nightmare. I will read the letters I wrote to Steve Lee and Carol on the subject. That will explain my thinking. The first letter was responding to what I thought was the wording to be considered, and the second letter was responding to a different wording, apparently also being considered. So the first letter I'll read there was I wrote on February 21st. It goes like this. At the last P&Z meeting, I gave my opinions on the proposal, and I voiced support for the ordinance in general with comments as to exemptions 7 and 8. I was not sure how number 8, the boat exemption, would finally end up. So apparently the proposal reads this way. Number 8, vessels, provisions of this section shall not apply to normal operation or maintenance of a personal boat or vessel. And then it lists times of day, etc. there. So the next paragraph reads, so here's the problem with number 8. Number 8 now eliminates the decibel rule restrictions for all boat maintenance in all zones. Furthermore, the words normal operation or maintenance render this exemption nothing more than an enforcement nightmare or unenforceable. Who decides what is normal boat maintenance? The cop who happens to answer the noise complaint? That is way too subjective to be a well-written law, in my opinion. Should this exemption be the same for all zones? So I propose that we add a descriptor sentence that in general states what decibel-exempt normal marine maintenance is in a residential or commercial zone. And I have in parentheses, commercial zoning means for quiet retail-type stores and as described in our zoning ordinances. The exemption could remain for light industrial and industrial zone properties. A descriptor sentence might read as follows. Normal marine maintenance or operation of a vessel when in residential or commercial zones might include activities such as pressure washing your vessel, changing oil, or spark plugs, running your motor in a tank, etc. Activities such as marine metal fabrication using welding, metal cutting, and grinding equipment, etc. are reserved for light industrial or industrial zones. What is wrong with those kind of additions? A common theme among several P&Z members in the last meeting was something like this. This is America, and we ought to be able to do what we want on our own property. Well, to me, this ignores the fact that civilized towns have zoning laws for good purpose. The purpose being the protection of the rights of your neighbors to a quality of life that is consistent with the zone that you purchased your home in. If you wish to do industrial-type activities, buy an industrial piece of property. It is therefore up to the city to protect these type of rights with proper laws and enforcement. I also had comments at the last P&Z meeting on the exemption for number 7, power tools. I believe the new proposed language is, the provisions of the section shall not apply to any power tools, including chainsaws, reasonably operated between the hours of 7 a.m. and 8 p.m. weekdays, and 10 a.m. and 8 p.m. weekends and holidays. Here again, I see several logistical problems. One, who decides what is a reasonably operated power tool? Once again, is it the police officer who responds to the complaint? Two, does the exemption apply to any type of tool? Can we use any noisy industrial tool on our property in a residential area? Things like heavy equipment repair tools in a residential zone. Three, there is no mention of zone-appropriate tools. Are all tools allowed to be used in all zones? Industrial-type tools then can be used in residential areas as long as they are reasonably operated. If I buy a house in a residential zone in Randall, I expect to be protected from industrial activities and noise. It is the city's duty to provide these types of protections. If we are going to write new laws, we should make ones that are comprehensive and enforceable. Then yesterday, I looked at your agenda, and I saw the different version of number 8, and I got kind of confused as to which one was going to be the one we were going to talk about. So I wrote a response to the updated version here. So the letter I sent in to Steve and Lisa and Carol is this. In an alternate version that has been presented regarding the marine maintenance exemption in number 8, the wording goes on to say that the decibel rule would apply to maintenance of any vessel in a district zone to allow this type of activity. So that's the new wording there. Maintenance of any vessel in a district zone to allow this type of activity. In this version, I see the following problems. One, what zones are exempt? We need to define them in the law. Two, the statement seems to imply that some zones are not exempt. What are they? Those should be defined. Are the unexempt zones therefore not allowed boat maintenance? I believe we should allow some boat maintenance activities as described in paragraph 3 in my previous letter in residential and commercial zones. The heavy-duty marine work, as I described in my letter, ought to be reserved for light industrial and industrial zones. I feel that this proposed law needs to be reworked to ensure clarity and enforceability. So then I guess that my request of you is that you postpone a decision on this proposed Ordinance 957, allowing more time to revise the language concerning Exemptions 7 and 8. Thanks.
Thank you, Haig. Appreciate your time. Scott Easterly, want to come up to the podium?
Easter.
Sorry, Scott.
Scott Easter, 583 Evergreen. This is kind of just some random stuff I wrote down when I was working today. Just my thoughts. It's not in any particular order, but I'll try to not make it too bad. This whole thing with Haig is a personal vendetta, and I'll give you guys my personal cell phone number if you want to talk to me after the fact, because it'll take too long to explain it. I feel like he's trying to weaponize the Wrangell Municipal Code specifically to spite me. I mean, I just can't believe it's gone on this long. I mean, how can you take a guy seriously about wanting to change the rules and regulations of our town? He's not even here. I mean, he's a snowbird. He's been gone since before Christmas. And I don't know when he's coming back. But, okay. Speaking along those lines, I don't think this is a problem throughout the whole town. I mean, is there any way you could look up neighbors or people getting mad about noise? I mean, specifically boats. And as many times as he said industrial and heavy duty, I mean, I don't understand. What's heavy duty and what's industrial? I mean, speaking of these industrial metalworking tools, you know, industrial. Okay, my industrial metal shear? I don't have one of those. An industrial bead roller? I don't have one of those. An industrial metal brake? I don't have one of those. I don't know if he's familiar with how to work on stuff at all, but the tools he's talking about wanting to outlaw are in everyone's garage. Yes, I am working on a boat. Yes, I moved it inside my shop. He's talking about outlawing skill saws. You cut aluminum with that, you cut wood with that. He wants to outlaw table saws. I mean, cut wood, cut aluminum. Bandsaw, same thing. Jigsaw, I mean, you know, router. I mean, these are all common tools everyone has. And this is going to be a hard one to enforce town-wide. I mean, I can hear noise from the boatyard clear from my house, and I'm way away. And, you know, I don't know, I'm young, I'm industrious. I think that's good. That's a sound of progress. But people that are retired, they have a different mindset. I don't know. He wants it to be like, I don't know, a gated community with homeowner association rules. And if I feel, I don't know, I'm an Alaskan. I like to do what I want to do. but I do have some concern for other people. And also, just for the, to reference this, the last 2 days I probably put, I don't know, probably 10 hours a day or so in my shop. Guess what? Nobody got a phone call. No cops came over. The rest of the neighbors that are around there have never said a thing. I've actually had neighbors say, I'm sorry how that neighbor acts, because we think it's cool to see what you do. And, okay, this, you know, like I said, this regulation will be hard to enforce townwide. It hurts the boatyard. You know, Svensson is right by and is by a residential area. Jenkins is right across the street from a residential area. Dave Miller's shop out there. And all those are all huge economic drivers in the town. The mill's gone, so what do we have? The boatyard is your guys' pride and joy, and I think it's working pretty good. It all kind of, you know, we're all, people are working on boats, keeping everything going.